mit Tanja Lieske. Und einen Studiogast darf ich heute hier begrüßen. Per Pettersen ist zu uns ins Funkhaus gekommen. Per Pettersen, der Erfolgsautor aus Norwegen. Per Pettersen wurde 1952 geboren. Er hat Bibliothekar gelernt, lange als Übersetzer gearbeitet, bevor er sich als Schriftsteller selbstständig machte. Herzlich willkommen, Per Pettersen.
Danke.
Per Pettersen, Ihre Werke werden schon seit geraumer Zeit ins Deutsche übersetzt. Der Durchbruch gelang Ihnen im letzten Jahr mit dem vielgerühmten Roman Pferdestehlen. Ein Roman, der auch international viel Aufsehen erregte. Sie bekamen dafür den Independent Foreign Fiction Prize. Das ist der wichtigste englische Literaturpreis für Werke, die nicht in der englischen Sprache verfasst wurden. Hier und heute soll es um einen Roman gehen, der sich in vieler Hinsicht wie eine Studie zu Pferdestehlen liest. Er heißt Im Kielwasser, Ihr neuer Roman, Per Pettersen. In welcher Beziehung steht er zu dem Roman Pferdestehlen?
Well, the first thing I have to say that was that in Norwegian, the one you call Im Kielwasser was published first, that is 3 years before Out Stealing Horses. Well, the only connection between them, in a way, is that the opening paragraph of Out Stealing Horses is the only paragraph that the writer Arvid Jansson in the book Im Kielwasser saves when he throws away his manuscript. So you could say that Out Stealing Horses is the book that Arvid Jansson hopefully did write.
Es geht auch in beiden Büchern um eine sehr schwierige und eine sehr intime Vater-Sohn-Beziehung.
Yeah, but that's not a big surprise to me because this is what I always do, sort of. But when I wrote Im Kielwasser, that was a very difficult, really difficult relationship between the father and the son. It was not a happy relationship. It was, I do think that they love each other, but they cannot express that love in any way. And they tend to avoid each other. And when the father dies, together with most of the family, Arvid Jansson, you know, he's, it's a great pain for him that he never could say the things that he perhaps wanted to say to his father and to perhaps express some emotional gratitude, for example. And this feeling of guilt, it torments him. And when I started writing Out Stealing Horses, I decided at the beginning that this would be about a father and a son that really did love each other and that they could express it in some ways. And I thought that no matter what happens, and I didn't know what was going to happen, no matter what happens in the book, they will, in a way, love each other on the last page too. And in a strange way, I think I achieved that, although things happen that are rather difficult for both of them.
Der Erzähler Ihres Buches Im Kielwasser, Arvid Jansson, ist, man könnte sagen, in sehr schlechter Verfassung. Hat es damit zu tun, dass er sich nicht verabschieden konnte von seinem Vater?
Well, that is perhaps a little too specific in a way. When we meet Arvid Jansson on the first page, this accident, this ship fire that kills most of his family, including the father, is 6 years ago. And I do think, without quite knowing it myself, I think he has tried to suppress this this great pain of that thing that happened. But as you say, he's a rather bad shape when we see him the first time, and you could say that he has had a blackout from drink, I'm sorry to say. And what happens is that because of this blackout, there is a crack in his personality. And what really happened at that time, also with his father, kind of seeps in and overwhelms him. And from that day, he has to think about his father, and especially his father, who he perhaps had the most difficult relationship to.
Das Schiffsunglück, von dem Sie sprechen, ist eines der tragischsten Schiffunglücke unserer Zeit. Es handelt sich um die Scandinavian Star. Es waren 500 Passagiere an Bord, 158 kamen um und in dieser Katastrophe sind auch Ihre eigenen Eltern umgekommen.
Yes, my parents and a brother and a niece and, you know, rather many. We used to be a big family and we ended up being two brothers left. Of course, when this book was published in Norway, this was no secret. You know, although it was 10 years ago between the book and the thing that happened, you could say people always ask me, is this autobiographical? And I could say that no, it's not. Although the basis of the book is certainly that, although I always change things, it's not exactly as it happened. And if Arvid Jansson was me, he used like had to use 3 weeks to go through what I could spend like 2 years on, you know. So that's why he definitely acts a little different from what I did. And he was turned out to be a very lonely man in this situation, whereas I was not. So I was in a much happier condition, if you can call it that, than Arvid Jansson. But that was my object to how does a man under such emotional stress, pressure, how does he act? What does he do? How does he move? You know, how is his relationship with other people? That was my object for that book. And, you know, well, you have read it.
Ich habe mir natürlich auch diese Frage gestellt, ist es ein autobiografischer Roman? Ich habe auch eine Antwort gefunden, die Antwort war jein. Das, was Sie natürlich wiedergeben, sehr verdichtet, ist der Prozess der Trauer. Und dass der erlebt ist, das spürt man, wenn man das liest.
Of course, I mean, the things that I write about, I mean, what you can call the action of the book is, well, it's not my life. But the emotions are my emotions, although they're very compressed in that, I mean, like in time. As I said, I mean, he uses 3 weeks to go through all this, and his mind almost explodes in a way, and to the point that he even does not recognize himself in the mirror, which is kind of an image, but it's also true. I mean, I've done that. So, yes.
Wir haben es mit einer traumatisierten Person zu tun. Und Sie zeigen uns diesen Bewusstseinszustand sehr deutlich in der Art, wie Sie erzählen. Es gibt Erinnerungsschübe, Träume, Überblendungen, Wechsel zwischen Wach- und Traum- und Tagzuständen. Das Ganze hat was sehr Gehetztes.
Haunted, yes. Well, what I tried to do was, you know, the book was written like that. I did not plan this book. I did not have a schedule for it or anything. I just started in one end, you know, and... although it took me quite some time to write it, it was difficult to write it, not because it was very emotional for me, although it was, of course, but it was just difficult to write, technically, in a way. So every other time I had to sit there and wait for something to happen. I didn't know what was going to happen. And very often what came into me was a kind of dream thing. And I knew that this person, he didn't have quite control of time and body. And so this felt very natural to me, that the past and the present, the dream and the awakeness, the books and the neighbors, all these things, you know, the seasons, they kind of merged in his mind, as it did in my mind when I wrote the book. And although it's a rather sorrowful position, it's also, for a writer, a little pleasant, if I can say it like that. It's because it's a kind of... it's a kind of a generator, you see, and your mind, when you write it, your mind feels a little like a generator, and you're not quite sure what is going to happen, but something is, you know. And what I always aim for is that the thing that should happen should have substance. If it has substance, I really do not care what it is. As long as it has substance, then I can use it, and then Arvid can use it.
Wie erkennen Sie das, wenn etwas, was sich zeigt, Substanz hat?
Well, that is a trick, isn't it? I mean, this is being a writer of some experience, and it may be a talent, it may be experience, like I said. And, well, to tell you the truth, you know, Hemingway, he said that if you are a writer, you definitely have to have a shit detector. That means that if something comes along that is really trash, you recognize it immediately and put it in the waste bucket, you know? But if the other way around, you shouldn't recognize quality when it comes. And... I do think I have a little of that shit detector, and so it's easy for me. What is not easy is always to get anything at all. I can sit and wait for a long time, you know, for the substance.
Humor spielt offensichtlich eine Rolle. Humor spielt auch in Ihrem Buch eine Rolle, obwohl es ein so ernstes und so ein trauriges Thema ist. Gibt es doch immer wieder Passagen, die humorvoll sind.
Oh yes. Many people, especially in Germany, they say, oh, it's not a funny book. And I say, oh, it may be not, but it's my most funny book anyway. So, and what I found out was that tragedy and emotional stress and comedy are in a strange way related. And what Arvid goes through is that when he's under such a pressure, his limbs start to do strange things, you know. He has not a completely control over his body always. But it's a little like Charlie Chaplin, you know, when he sits down on a chair, it breaks and we think it's funny. And Arvid is a little like that. And also there are some of the dialogues, you know, between the Kurd in the book and Arvid, or perhaps also with Frau Grinde in the book. And they say some things that I notice when somebody reads for the audience in German, people tend to laugh there. And I'm very happy that they do, because I thought it was funny. So if somebody else can recognize it, that's funny. I'm very happy about that.
Es ist natürlich auch der Humor, der dem Tod etwas in seiner Größe nimmt.
Yeah, you could say that. But, you know, it can be a tragedy and it can be funny at the same time. And that is like swearing in church, as we say in Norway. But it's true. I know that there are things that we cannot joke about. We could talk about them, but we won't. But I think that tragedy and humor can be related. Not always, of course.
Kommen wir nochmal zu den vielen Bildern zurück, die Arvid heimsuchen, die ihn überwältigen. Es sind auch Bilder von der ausgebrannten Fähre dabei und es sind immer wieder auch Bilder, Fragmente von der Begegnung zwischen dem Erzähler und seinem Vater. Und im Verlauf dieser Begegnungen wird die Figur des Vaters immer zerbrechlicher. Ich möchte Sie bitten, eine solche Begegnung zu lesen.
Ingen var skilt ennå, ingen var død. Vi reiste med båten som vi hadde gjort det bestandig og sov i en natt vi kjente. Lanterner og fyrtårn lyste oss fra fjorden over åpne havet og ned forbi Skagen. Bak båten lå kjølvannstripa skumhvit og livslinjeaktig før den ble borte i mørket. Nå satt faren min i en krok og drakk. Jeg hadde ikke sett han drikke før, ikke sånn. Vi hadde ikke vært sammen på lenge. Han virka mindre enn før, men var fortsatt kraftig, og jeg tror ikke det var ett tidspunkt i livet mitt han ikke kunne banke meg med en arm på ryggen. Men han hadde ikke slått meg noen gang, ikke en ørefik hadde jeg fått annet den gangen han ville lære meg å bokse, og jeg nekta å slå han, og han ble så irritert at han smelte til meg i brystet, så jeg landa på gulvet og trilla inn under sofaen. Nå stirret han i glasset sitt, han drakk av før han reiste seg ustøtt og sa, «Jaså du, Hemingway, så du skriver du?»
Hemingway, sagte er, sagt nicht Hemingway. Es ist etwas darin. Es ist nicht direkt ein Lustigmachen, es ist auch ein Annehmen darin. Und trotzdem hält er Distanz zu seinem schreibenden Sohn.
No, I wouldn't think that he was ridiculizing his son, but it's not looking down on him, but it's a way to keep distance and it's a way to show that I do not understand you, really. And this offends Arvid, of course, in a way he has to. So later in the book he says, oh, I wish he'd said Hemingway, because that would be to recognize me as a young writer. But his father doesn't understand why he is a young writer, especially because Arvid writes about him, his father, and everybody knows that. And Arvid cannot account for that, but that's what he does. So we know that his father means a lot to him without having the ability to express it. So, No, that Hemingway thing, that's just something that came into my mind as a vehicle for showing this, the distance they keep to each other. And it's just one N, you know?
Es funktioniert aber sehr gut.
Thank you.
In der Anerkennung, die nicht kommt, liegt eigentlich das Thema, das Arvid in der Mitte seines Lebens hat. Es geht um die Anerkennung des Vaters, die auch nicht mehr bekommen kann, weil der Vater gestorben ist.
Yes, but I didn't understand that quite myself until the end of the novel. He has this conversation with his Kurdish neighbor, a strange conversation because it consists of only three words. That's all they know. But he's trying to tell the Kurd something which the Kurd cannot understand. But he talks to him about fathers, and then he said, well, it's 6 years since he died now. And it took me 6 years to understand that it was unbearable. I really cannot stand it. And but that's life and that's death. I mean, people die and the things you would like to do with them is something that you cannot do anymore. It is too late. And very often in life, it is not like in the movies where it's never too late. In reality, it is too late. And the point is, of course, with the book, you have to live with it and you have to not try to push yourself down because of it, but you have to try to live with it. And also with not being such a perfect person. We all have to do that. We are not perfect, and some of us make more mistakes than others, but we cannot shoot ourselves for that reason, you know.
Trotzdem finde ich, es ist kein Buch, das die Leser vollkommen in Traurigkeit entlässt und ihnen keinerlei Hoffnung gibt. Es gibt am Ende so etwas wie einen Wandel in Arvids Leben. Zum einen in der Beziehung mit dem kurdischen Flüchtling, der immer wieder vor seiner Tür steht, mit den drei Brocken Norwegisch, aber auch mit einer Frau, die gegenüber lebt, die immer nur Frau Grinde genannt wird.
Yes, but you know, when you are really desperate and unhappy in your life, the strange things happen, well, it happens to me anyway, is that help comes from unexpected angles, you know. I think, well, in all places on earth, you could not say that, of course, lives are devastating in many places. But in my experience, I am a very lucky man. But when I'm really desperate and unhappy, help always comes. But you cannot beforehand know where it comes from. So you just wait, somebody will help you. And love perhaps will come.
Das ist auch der Ausblick, den Sie am Ende Ihres Buches geben.
It was my meaning.
Vielen Dank. Das war der norwegische Autor Per Pettersen. Wir sprachen über seinen neuen Roman Im Kielwasser, aus dem Norwegischen übersetzt von Ina Kronenberger. Im Kielwasser, erschienen im Karl Hanser Verlag, 192 Seiten gebunden, kosten 19,90 €.